there's still so much to see.
You make me come alive. I never felt so free.
Welcome to Explore Lake Murray Country, your guide to come alive in the jewel of South Carolina. I'm your host, Kelly Hughes. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about all things Southeastern Barbecue Showdown in Alabama concert happening June 14th and 15th in Sega Park in Columbia, South Carolina. Today, we'll be talking with two of our celebrity judges for the competition. Our first guest today is Chef Brian Duffy, a celebrity chef who has been on Food Network and Bar Rescue, as well as opened over 100 restaurants and venues across the United States. Welcome, Chef Duffy!
What's going on, everybody?
We are so excited to have you. I'm so thrilled to, even though this isn't a formal meeting, there's no video, I'm excited to meet you in June when the weather will be great and consistent.
I know.
We're going to have great barbecue. We're going to have an awesome Alabama concert. We're going to have a hoot and a holler at Sega Park in June.
I know. How fun is that going to be? You're talking about Alabama and being in Columbia, South Carolina all at the same weekend. Man, I just left Alabama. I was there. I flew home yesterday. I was excited listening to Alabama on the plane leaving Alabama.
Oh,
now I'm
going
to listen
layered.
To Alabama on my way to South Carolina.
Very layered. And they obviously have all the best country hits that they're going to be playing for us. Have you been a longtime Alabama fan?
A long time. I mean, I was actually really surprised to see how much of their music I still knew. No, I mean that because, like, you know, I didn't grow up like a Southern rock guy or any of that. I mean, I grew up in the suburbs of Philadelphia. We didn't listen to that stuff as much. But when I started to listen to them on the plane the other day, I was like, oh my God, I know the words to, like, I don't know, maybe 75% of the songs. It's a band that's been around for a long time, man.
Yeah.
They're like one of the classics.
They really are. And I mean, actually, this is embarrassing. I'm from New Jersey. I say that every podcast episode without fail. But I did not grow up really listening to any, at least old time country. So when I came down here for school, came to USC, one of the most popular songs down here is Dixieland Delight. And we have like our little additives that we sing it with in reference to the SEC football program. So it's all fun and games. And I'm excited to see them in concert. But so, I want to kick this off.
You say that every episode. You say you're from Jersey every episode?
Yeah.
Okay. What part?
North Jersey, like Morris County.
Oh yeah, I know.
I'm not a South Jersey girl.
Because if you're from South Jersey, then you say I'm from just outside of Philly.
Yeah, I say I'm just from outside New York.
I got you. I dated a girl who lived. We were together for like 7 years. From Manalapan.
Oh really?
Exit 8.
Did you ever go out there?
All the time. I mean, and not only that, but I'm also, by the way, I'm also in and out of New York like monthly. But yeah.
Yeah. I believe that. Yeah. Newark's a hot spot. It's an epicenter.
They've got a huge restaurant. There's a whole bunch of really cool little like down and dirty mom and pop restaurant shops or restaurants that are popping up in Newark right now that I just started to, I don't know, maybe it's just showing up in my algorithm, but I'm starting to see a lot of it. So
to kick this off, I want to ask you a question about you. For those who are unfamiliar with your work, can you give us a quick rundown of your background, who you are, what you do, and basically what your life is all about?
Sure. Oh my God. I love how you throw quick in there first, as if we haven't gotten to, I haven't answered any questions yet. Man, I'm a chef. I graduated culinary school in the early 90s. I've been at this for a really long time. I was lucky enough to kind of have a cool little personality that worked out with TV producers and a lot of local stuff in Philadelphia, which is really where I got my launch. I started doing shows in Philly, like morning shows in Philly on Fox and NBC. And then I started to get a little bit more recognized with some stuff. I started to do some Food Network, and then it just kind of spanned out from there. I did a local show in Philly for 8 years. And then really kind of the big thing for me was that Spike TV Bar Rescue, working with John Taffer, traveling around the country, kind of yelling and screaming at people to, you know, make them feel like complete and utter fools for opening a restaurant. I did that show for 3 years. And then ever since then, I have done everything you can imagine, from judging Beat Bobby Flay to being on Barbecue Brawl to winning the Barn Smoker competition, a massive, massive event down in Dallas. And now I travel all over the world. I have a consulting firm called Duffified Experience Group, and I have another partnership in a consulting firm called Maverick Theory, where we go around the country with like our version and our kind of mental idea of the way that restaurants should be run. So we work very, very closely with the owners on the food program, on the hospitality program, on the education and the training of the staff. And it really is a way for us to build up staff and get them to be so empowered that they're the greatest employees that you could possibly ever imagine. Other than that, I'm just a cool guy. I have two daughters and, you know, I just kind of get to travel and have fun.
Girl dad. At the all girl, end of
I just
it all,
bought a
your
t-shirt.
Girl dad.
I bought my own t-shirt that said girl dad and my daughters made fun of me for it.
They don't get it.
Because they didn't buy it for me.
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah, so I cut half of their savings accounts and put them back in my own bank account.
Quit it.
Yeah, so I win. I got the t-shirt and I got half the money back.
So you mentioned that you won the Barn Smoker event in Dallas last summer. Kind of like piggybacking off of that, I know you're also, because of that, you're a seasoned barbecue chef. What makes you the most excited about judging the upcoming Southeastern Barbecue Showdown event?
You know, I think that one of the things that I bring to barbecue events and judging in general is the fact that I come from a restaurant background. And I also come from a highly trained culinary background. You know, I mean, I worked for some of the greatest chefs in the country. I did my apprenticeships at some really cool places. So I feel that my knowledge kind of is able to impart a different kind of outlook on the way that I judge, because I look at it from a very highly technical and flavor profile. But at the same time, I think about it the way that a consumer would think about it. Yeah. So for me, it's really about bringing that technical and that classical training and technique into it. At the same time, thinking, is this something that the average consumer would like to eat? And that's kind of the way that I judge. And I usually kind of have a lot of fun with it. I mean, I love chefs. I love people that cook. I love people that are passionate about the process of cooking, or that the kind of I talk about the physics of it, the cause and effect of it. So for me, that is, I think that is kind of what sets me apart from other people. I mean, it's not like I'm the 3-time Olympian or world's strongest man. Okay. But you want to hang out with Mark Henry? Good. We have a blast. We have a blast whenever we do.
I was actually about to ask, how do you and Mark know each other?
So we met at the World Food Championship in Dallas in November, and it was just kind of like, I think, an immediate friendship. I have a lot of respect for him, for what he's done. He's a big, huge family man, which is something that I just have a huge amount of respect for. I mean, I'm a father of two girls. My girls are 23 and 20, and they're such a huge part of my life in the way that I think and the way that I act and the way that I kind of portray myself, I guess, is what you have to say. So not only that, Mark's just a really sweet guy. He's a really, really nice guy, even though he'll crush your head with his hands.
It's a match made in heaven, it sounds like.
If one of us replied to text messages on time, we would have the best bromance in the world.
That's everyone now, though. Not the norm to reply to text message on time.
Well, it's funny. My assistant texted me and she's like, hey, Bri, they're waiting for you on the podcast. I replied to that immediately,
We weren't necessarily waiting for you. We had just finished up talking with Mark. So we were we just want to let Brian know.
Oh, wait,
come
I'm
on
second.
Whenever he's ready.
I'm playing second fiddle. You know what? I will gladly play second fiddle to Mark any day of the week. He's a wonderful, wonderful human.
That
and you know
so
what? We have
sweet.
A lot of fun when we judge. Like, it's kind of cool to sit next to him and think about what this guy's done in his life, and then what part food plays in his life as well. So sitting next to him for as long as we have, I think we judged eight of the different categories together. So think about that. We had six dishes on each category that we had to taste.
Wow.
So for him and I to sit next to each other for that long and just talk to each other, I learned a lot about him. And I just have a lot of respect for him. So
yeah, good food and good company. I mean, how do you
Absolutely.
Not bond over stuff like that?
Right.
So you mentioned that you grew up in Philly. What got you to culinary school?
You know, I had a different kind of upbringing in so many ways. I was born in like a classic Irish Italian big family, you know, four kids, which it funny. I've been writing a book, and I was writing something the other day when I was sitting on the plane, and I always talk about my big Irish, you know, Catholic family. But then when I think about the people that were in my neighborhood and the massive amount of kids that they had, like I had one family down the street who had 12 kids, one up the street who had 8, another one around the corner who had 10, another one around the corner who had 12. And then, you know, I mean, so like, that's what I grew up with. was yeah. that like we literally had like our own soccer team in our neighborhood because we had so many kids. They were everywhere. I mean, met my oldest best friend. Her name is Paula. I affectionately call her Red because she has red hair. I met her when I think the week I moved into my house in 1975, and Paula walked up the street, which was about 300 yards away from where she lived. She walked across a major street, walked up the side of a street, knocked on the front door of my parents' house. "Hi, my name is Paula. Do you have any kids that I can play with?" and literally, she was the youngest of 10 kids by, I think, six years. So like she was my best friend. I mean, from that day forward, she was my best friend. And I mean, imagine, I don't know if you have kids now, but I can't imagine sending my children up the street over a major road to go and find somebody to play with, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that was a social network.
Exactly. It was. And so, I mean, that's how I grew up. I grew up in that like big sarcastic Irish Catholic world. Where, you know, I mean, everything that you did was scrutinized, and whether you were playing kick the can or what, whether you were, what you were wearing. I mean, it's just the nature of, I think, that time frame. So it was kind of weird that I ended up going into culinary school a little bit later in life, not later in life, but I was about 20 when that happened. So I went into culinary school because I love to cook, and I love to cook for people. So I would cook for my buddies and their girlfriends and get like, you know, instant gratification, like, oh my God, that was amazing. And then I'd meet them out at the bar later. Like that's what I did. So going to culinary school for me was kind of a culmination of that, plus the love of food that my family shared. My mother was a classic, you know, Midwest Irish Catholic woman. My father was that South Philly Irish Italian who loved to cook, who loved to be adventurous, who loved trying new things. He always had cookbooks. I mean, my father had 3 master's degrees and a doctorate. So father was a very educated man who really went at cooking in a different way. You know, he went at it on a much more analytical approach as opposed to the way that my mother did, which was really like, okay, starch, protein, vegetable, starch, protein, vegetable. That was kind of the way that we all grew up. So I went to culinary school, and then boom, the rest is history. Like it was one of my favorite things that I've ever done. I went to college and I couldn't stand it. So I kind of muddled through college for a while, and then I ended up going to culinary school and really found someplace that I loved to be.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's so funny that you bring up the Irish American. I'm only 23. I'm your daughter's age. So I grew up, like I said, in Jersey. I grew up with 4 older brothers. I'm the youngest, only girl. My father is 100% Irish. My mom's got some Irish in her. Grew up Catholic. So it's so funny how even though we grew up in these different time frames and these generations, it's that I can relate to you on that level. And it's so funny how you're able to say all that and then be like, yeah, and that's how I ended up in culinary school. I mean, it's crazy how that connection to food and cooking and everything really comes in all these different signs and all these different ways. So it's very endearing to hear you say that. And I want to quickly just switch it back to barbecue real quick. I meant to ask this before the last question. What's your favorite barbecue dish? Whether it's one that you like to judge or one that
ribs.
You like to make?
Ribs.
Like a full rack?
I love ribs.
Like a full rack of ribs or... baby back, what's the difference? I need some
ribs. Well, first off, I'm not a baby back guy. I think baby back ribs suck.
That's okay? A Chili's
I think
dish.
They suck. I know, right? Exactly. Like Chili's made the baby back famous. I'm talking about a big fat slab of St. Louis ribs, like whether it's squared off or whether it's not, if it's a spare rib or a St. Louis, whatever it works out to be. I am a fan of leaving the membrane on the back because I love texture and I love – any added flavor. Plus, I feel that the membrane on the back of a rib leaves the rib to be more, a little bit more moist. It's almost like an insulator when you're smoking it, if there's any form of heat that's happening down below. So I love that crisp of that membrane when you pull that off. And it also holds the juice into that meat. I just love the way that fat settles throughout a St. Louis rib as opposed to a baby back, because baby backs have almost like, they have a peak when you cook them. So when you look at a baby back rib, it's got that super rounded bone to it. But then across the top of it, there's a piece of that meat that runs, that protein, that muscle that runs right across the top of it that I feel gets overcooked no matter what you do to it. So if you're out there cooking baby backs, they suck. Get a St. Louis and be a big boy.
Wow, I need that tattooed.
I actually have a tattoo on my body that says the art of the preparation creates the experience. Ooh. So I believe that no matter what you do in life, that there's a preparation that adds to that. And there's always an art form when it comes to preparing for something, whether you're going to run a marathon or if you're going to get married or if you're going to cook a meal, whatever it is, there's a preparation that goes into that.
For sure.
And the more art that you put into that, the better the experience is going to be. So it's something that I say to my clients on a daily basis. Like, it's the simple fact of when I butter a piece of bread to put onto a griddle to toast for a burger. If that burger bun is not toasted perfectly all the way throughout, then I don't have the perfect bite throughout the whole thing. So the art of the preparation creates the experience. So if I'm creating or preparing something in the best possible way, you're going to have the best possible experience on the end.
I see. Well, that's actually a perfect segue into my next question. So as a chef and a consumer, what do you look for in the perfect plate of barbecue? I know you were just talking about the way you were describing the intricacies of the ribs. I need even more. Like, what is it that makes the perfect plate in barbecue?
I mean, when it comes down to barbecue, there's a couple of very simple things. Obviously, the fat to meat ratio that you're looking for and how well that fat is rendered and transferred throughout the meat itself. So if I'm going to do a brisket, that's a whole different experience and a whole different cooking process than what happens when it comes to when you're cooking a rib. So let's just stick with the basic art of the rib. I mean, the way that that meat and that fat renders through there is awesome. I'm not a fan of putting a sauce on a rib until the end. And by the end, I mean either if I'm going to serve it in a restaurant or if I'm at my house, I do a dry rib across the board. And then I like to dip my my ribs or whatnot into a sauce so that I control what happens to that sauce when it goes on it. And then the other thing when it comes down to it is really about the sides. I mean, if I'm going to have barbecue, I have a couple of classic sides that are just an automatic. For me, collard greens. I have to have a collard green, that liquor that ends up inside of there. And I take all my leftover meats. So I'll take some bacon, I'll take brisket, I'll take smoked turkey, I'll take turkey necks, I'll take ham hocks, whatever it is, and throw them into my collard greens. The other thing is coleslaw. I want a really good mix of a vinegar, sugar, and mayonnaise base. Mayonnaise being kind of the main component when it comes to the sauce that adds up for a coleslaw. I like to take my cabbage. I like to season it up with salt and pepper first and let it kind of wilt down a little bit. Then I add my sauce to that. So then I kind of add my mayonnaise, my apple cider vinegar, my brown sugar, my honey, my sriracha, my sambal oleik, whatever I'm going to add into there. But for me, it's a good balance of a fatty meat and then a really kind of unctuous side. So, and I like a balance of sugar and sweet to it as well. So I like that vinegar and that, or that acid and that sweetness that pairs together with all of that, especially the fat. It makes me a really happy guy. The other thing, my sauces, I think an Alabama white sauce is probably one of my most favorite sauces to have. The other one is a Texas meat dip, which I take my Texas meat dip, which is like all my drippings from my brisket, my ribs, my chickens, my pork, whatever it is. And I cook that down with like fire roasted tomatoes and charred onions and all that stuff. And I make out of that, that there is nothing better than dipping brisket into a Texas meat dip.
I've never even heard.
See
of
how the
Texas
voice deepened on that? I became more of a man right there. It was amazing.
Texas man dip. That's what.
Yeah, exactly.
Honestly, I don't think you could be more qualified to judge this competition. It's insane here. I have never been to a barbecue competition, and yet here I am, totally able to picture every single thing that you're talking about because of how vividly you're able to describe this all. There's a specific presentation that you look for in barbecue. It's not supposed to look perfect. Yeah. It's not supposed to be clean and pretty. It's supposed to look desirable and delicious and look exactly like a good plate of barbecue. And when I say that, everyone can picture and know exactly what I mean.
Yeah. Oh, so, we all know it. That glaze, they've got that kale underneath of it. Four of the most, you know, they cooked 20 chicken thighs to get to those four that they're putting up for a judge.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of difference that happens in competition compared to what happens in that real world. So when you think about it on a competition level, I'm going to be a hard judge. You know, I'm going to be somebody who's going to look at that product and say, okay, did you do this justice on what it is that we just put on a plate? So But then again, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm no stranger to pulling over to the side of the road and grabbing, you know, a rack of ribs from, I was just driving from Daytona over to Fort Myers a couple months ago and found this unbelievable little barbecue spot just in the middle of the road, like literally in the middle of the road off to the side that, you know, and I'm the king of that. Like, I was in Austin a couple weeks ago and found the greatest elote on the side of the highway. And I had to drive around four times. It took me 35 minutes to get to a place that I just passed.
Yeah.
Like, because I watched this guy create it. He was cooking it over an open fire, and that flavor of that char and that fattiness and that richness of that corn and the sauce that he was putting on top of it with the spice and the seasoning, like, those are the places that more people need to stop and check out, as opposed to all these massive chains that you go in, you don't get the greatest food, you complain about it, they give you a free gift card so that you can come back, when in reality, stop at your local place on the side of the road, give them the credit, give them the money, give them the Yelp review, and let them grow, instead of us growing all these massive corporations that are just looking at bottom lines as opposed to people.
Barbecue, the way you're describing it and the way that I even have interpreted it, it's so much more personal. Everyone has a different sauce recipe. Everyone has a different method of smoking or grilling or cooking it. And I think that's really beautiful because, like you said, with these chain restaurants, they're not, I mean, I can't speak for them, but it's not necessarily anything special. Yeah, it could be amazing and, you know, knee slapping and delicious. But I think to be able to really understand barbecue and how it people can relate to it and how people grow up with it, you do have to go to these hole in the walls. You have to go to these small businesses and support them so that, I mean, they can share that love with everyone.
I've got a guy down in Columbia, actually, right down with you guys, who owns Roy's Grill.
Chris Williams.
Yeah. Chris is like, I am, I don't know if he knows this, but I think I'm one of his biggest fans.
Aww.
Like, I just love Chris. Actually, we're talking about possibly doing a pop-up with Chris before the event. So I'll let you guys know about that. But Chris is a very, very talented individual. And one of the things that I've taken from Chris over the last 2 years that he and I, we met actually in Hilton Head at an event that we had done together. And since then, he and I worked together on different events. He's worked with me in Austin, Vancouver. We have done a lot of really cool events together. But one of the things that I love about Chris is, one, the name Roy is because of his grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
So the history that he is putting on a plate is what is different between a chef and a pitmaster. Pitmasters are, you know, when we're talking about barbecue, we're talking about such a personal connection to the food. Check out my rub. Listen, smell, taste my sauce. Look at the way. And one of the big things that we talk about in barbecue is, how long did you cook it? What wood did you use? And what temp? Like, when chefs start communicating with each other, we have conversations. Ah, what'd you do with that sauce? Man, I love the way you put that sauce together. What did you do? But when it comes down to a barbecue guy or girl or a pit master, I mean, girls that can grill, like, she's one of my favorite people. I don't know if you guys follow her at all. You should totally check her out. I actually did a TV show with her. She's awesome. But the stories behind why they made the rubs, why they like that sauce, why they did it this way, is so much trial and error that I feel that there's just more personality that goes into the food that way.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great way to put it. Well, like I said, I don't think you could be more qualified to judge this competition. And I am really looking forward to seeing you and spending some time with you at the event. I think it's going to be amazing. It feels so far, but also so close. It's literally around the corner. My brain is literally in June right now. But that's just how we do things at Capital City Lake Murray Country. We are always looking months ahead. But I'm so glad that we were able to take the time to sit here and talk. And I really appreciate all the great things you have to say about what you do. And you are so evidently passionate about barbecue and food and how you got to where you are. So again, I thank you so much. My last question for you is, where can people find you and your work on social media, television, whatever it is?
Got it. So I have shows that air on the old, I don't know what Spike's called now, but my Bar Rescue episodes of the, I think, 200 episodes that they've done. 10 of the top worst episodes that have ever aired in the history of that show, I have 8 of them.
Stop.
So I have some of the craziest Bar Rescue episodes ever that air on a weekly basis. I'm on Instagram just like every other person in the entire world. Mine is Chef Bri Duff, C-H-E-F-B-R-I-D-U-F-F. And then on a consulting level, if you want to find me, you can find me through either send us a message through Instagram or duffifiedexperiencegroup.com, because I believe that it's not just about opening restaurants. It's the experience of doing that, blah, blah, blah. That's where you can find me.
Awesome. And obviously, we can all find you June 14th and 15th at Sugar Park in Columbia, South Carolina at the Southeastern Barbecue Showdown 2024 inaugural event. That's a mouthful.
Can't wait.
I know. We're very excited. Well, thank you so much.
With Alabama, man. We're literally,
oh my God,
Alabama's going to be on stage.
I know. We're going to go crazy. I'm going to get my new boots. I'm going to new boot goof all over the place. I'm going to line dance. I'm going to square dance. I'm going to do everything nobody's ever seen me do before.
You're from Jersey, so they're going to have steel toes.
You know it. Thank you again.
Especially as a girl with four older brothers, you definitely have steel toe boots.
Oof. I have a steel toed brain, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. You make me come alive.
Next up on this episode, we're going to speak with Olympic weightlifter and WWE Hall of Famer, and of course, one of the other judges for the Southeastern Barbecue Showdown, Mark Henry. Mark, welcome to the show.
Well, thank y'all so much for having me.
We are so excited to have you. You've been traveling. You've been busy. So just to start things off, a very similar question that we asked Chef Duffy. For those who are unfamiliar with you and your work, can you give us a quick rundown of your background, what it is that you do, and anything else you want to say about yourself?
Well, I'm kind of largely considered the strongest person that ever lived. I've been a world champion in three sports that have nothing to do with each other. I'm a fanatical sports fan. I grew up cooking with my mother and my grandmother. My mother was a famous chef in East Texas. And from the ripe old age of 8 years old, I started doing prep and graduated to being able to assist her in anything that she needed, you know, when it was time sensitive. I bake, you know, I roast, I cook, I make stocks, like whatever it is. I just enjoy the world of cooking, and I definitely love the world of eating. So they go together.
So you mentioned that about a year ago, you started doing stand-up comedy. Can you tell me a little bit about that too?
When I got out of pro wrestling, I needed to find a way to scratch the itch of being on stage, the performing thing. And the thing that I loved the most in this world outside of pro wrestling was comedy. And I had no clue or no inkling that I would ever attempt it. But I was asked to come to a comedy special in which they just pulled me up on stage. And it was kind of random. And I got on stage and it felt really good. And one of the guys was like, man, you're funny. And I'm like, funny looking or funny peculiar? Like, what, you know, so it's like I can use my wit. And now that we've started structurally writing jokes and making it, you know, feel organic, it's like one of the best things that have happened to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I think live comedy is an amazing thing to be a part of. And you mentioned your professional wrestling career. Can you tell me more about that? How long were you doing that for?
Well, I wrestled for 24 years.
Wow. And,
I was multiple-time world champion. I traveled the world. I've been to every major city in the world. You know, I've never been to Antarctica or the North Pole or South Pole. But once they started wrestling there, then I would go there too. I competed in two Olympic Games, and 92 and 96 games in Barcelona and Atlanta. And yes, I was there for the bombing, but I slept through it. They just told me about it the next morning. But wrestling-wise, I faced the best of the best. Main event at WrestleMania before, which is an unbelievable feat in our industry. And it's been a beautiful journey. My kids got to grow up and see me in wrestling as they grew up. And now they realize that I'm an old man compared to all the young people that's wrestling now. And but we all love it. It's a family affair.
Oh, that's very sweet. And something that Chef Duffy noted about you when we spoke with him was how much of a huge family man you are. So that's really sweet to hear that connection that you just made so nonchalantly about your children. And I actually want to do a throwback real quick. Can you tell me about, you know, I'm not sure how early it was in your life that you started getting into weightlifting or wrestling. I would love to hear about, you know, as a child and how that you got into that realm.
I was really young, too young. I mean, too young to actually start. I was 6 or 7. I just turned 7 that summer during the Olympic Games. That was the first time I ever saw the Olympic Games. And there was a weightlifter named Vasily Alexeyev. And Vasil broke the world record. He was the first time somebody lifted 500 pounds. And the crowd was throwing roses at him. And I knew right then at that moment at 7 years old that I wanted roses thrown at me. I wanted to be admired. You know, I wanted to be famous. I never went out in my life wanting to be rich or worried about money. As long as I was fed and I could go outside and play, life was perfect. And I just, you know, as I grew and got older, that's all I wanted to do. And that ended up being what the thing that made me the happiest. I begged my mother for weights, and she finally bought weights when I was 11 or 12. And, you know, I lifted those weights every day. You know how I don't know if you have little ones, but kids will try stuff and then they'll just leave it alone. You get a kid, I want to learn to play the piano. Okay. You go buy a piano, they play it for 6 months and then they quit. That was not me. When she bought those weights, it was like, Mark, you've been lifting for 3 hours. That's enough. You know, wow. So lifting became, you know, the thing that I felt like was my medicine. And it ended up being the thing that, you know, made me who I am.
Absolutely. And it requires so much determination and consistency. So, like I said before, I commend you so much on all of your achievements and everything that you are continuing to do. It really is so awesome and so inspiring. And for our organization to have you as a judge for the Southeastern Barbecue Showdown, it is a huge milestone for us to be involved with you and to work together with you. So,
well, success and hope floats. And
I love that.
When you put enough people together that have the same goal and mindset, eventually you're going to come together. So it just finally happened. We all come together.
Absolutely. All of us together, a match made in heaven, the stars aligned. So you did Olympic weightlifting competitions and you're competing in WWE. And so all that has brought you to the food sport competition. So right. Chef Duffy, you mentioned that you guys met back in November. Was that your first World Food Championship that you attended?
No, I started, this is, that was my fourth.
Wow.
I'm an old veteran, but I enjoy it. I'm friends with a lot of chefs. If, you know, I don't know if you've ever been to Austin, Texas, but a lot of it is barbecue country. But there are also really, really great Japanese sushi places and Chinese gastropub type food places that friends of mine own and have, you know, bless me with the ability to go in the kitchen and kind of quiz and ask questions to the chefs and sous chefs. So it's like, you know, it's how I get my entertainment.
Yeah, absolutely. So with this competition that we have coming up in June, the Southeastern Barbecue Showdown, obviously we have our chicken wing competition Friday. We got everything barbecue meat oriented on Saturday, as well as a live performance from Alabama the Band. What are you most excited about when it comes to judging this competition?
Meeting the chefs. I like young, innovative chefs, but I also like the old, wily veterans, the ones that have done it for 30 years and they're fixed in their ways and they've developed their own way of doing things. And they don't mind telling you about it. They're not going to tell you the ingredients. They're not going to give you the recipe, but they're going to give you the execution. And I love that about chefs. You're like, we'll share the execution, just not the recipe.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's your favorite barbecue dish?
I'm a brisket and beef rib guy. It's all beef. I'm a Texan, born and raised. you know, you can, you narrow it down to ribs and, you know, barbecue chicken and all the other accoutrements, but mostly it's about the beef.
Mark, can you tell us about your relationship, your friendship with Chef Duffy?
You know what, we've known each other for a while, and we only met this year at the World Food Championships, but we have a mutual friend, and it was always, hey, we got to get together. Yeah, man, we'll get together this time, and we never did. And then it just happened, and it was just right. You know, he very like personalities. We both never have been at a loss for words, and we both like the kids. And we ended up going to the high school barbecue competition and just dealing and hanging out with the kids. And they did really, really good work. And a lot of them had been in the barbecue clubs for like a year or two already. So they had experience. And so a lot of them had dreams of opening their own restaurants and going and working and being sous chefs and being barbecue cooks. And I just love the fact that that's an option, because that's something that didn't exist when I was a kid. And Chef Duffy went and broke stuff down to them, you know, and temperatures and ingredients. And I just thought it was a beautiful thing to look at their faces and see a famous, well-seasoned chef give them instructions. And they weren't just listening. They were writing it down.
Mm.
And I told him later on, I was like, man, did you see that they were writing it down? He said, Mark, I was so blown away that I had to mention it. And he mentioned it. He was like, I'm glad to see y'all writing things down, because you will forget. And it's not a question of if you forget, but when. And if you write it down, you're ahead of the game. So that was his words, and I thought it was beautiful.
Yeah, that is so great. It's so great to hear how much even barbecue alone has an impact on the community. And something I want to actually ask you about is your Strong Kids program. I know that you have a mission to inspire kids to lead active and healthy lifestyles. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Well, Strong Kids started off as just workouts, because there were some kids that had never played sports. And there were a couple of kids that were a little overweight for their age and height. And their parents wanted them to be more active and do things. So I created a workout called the 300. And it's 300 reps. And the kids would do all the calisthenics and all the stretching. And then they would do the 300 workout. And then we would play games. So you get an hour and a half of workout, but you don't feel like you're working out. It's just fun. Mm. And so that's what initially it started off. But over about a 5-year period, it evolved into not just physical, but more mental structuring of, you know, how you want to live your life. And there are a lot of parents that subscribe to the theory that everybody get a trophy, that, you know, there's no wins and losses. It's just go and participate in how you play the game. And that's not how it works. Like, kids are, you know, being misinformed. And I didn't want that for them. That's where the bullying comes in. That's where all of these other things that I wanted them to be strong about and to not be so unprepared when those things happen. So we started teaching, basically, and we wrote up a curriculum to have kids know that how to deal with bullying situations, how to deal with winning and losing. Because if you really want to compete and you like winning, then you got to be able to accept the failure and grow from the failure. Use the failure as the wood for the fire. You know, so if you want it to keep burning, you're going to have to fail. And failure is a byproduct of trying. So, like, you know, you failed, you trial and error. Man, I've baked cakes that fail in the middle, you know, and you get so aggravated, or you try to make a souffle and they don't rise right, you know, a popover or something to that effect. Like, you just have to learn to deal with failure. And we teach that in Strong Kids. And sometimes we got to hold them up. You know, sometimes we got to, like, hey, go ahead and cry, get it out. and then come over here and let's do this tug of war.
Yeah.
So we keep it moving, but we test the will and we teach strength of mind, just not just the body.
Yeah. I'm in awe of you. That is really awesome to hear you articulate that. And I commend you on all of your achievements and everything that you continue to achieve. It really is so inspiring to see how multifaceted you are. You're more than just the world's strongest man. You're the world's busiest, most accomplished man. That's what it sounds like to me. And I do want to ask you one more question, because Chef Duffy had answered it and he actually created the question. But he said, barbecue is all about the sides. Will you tell me what side is most important to you? You know, what's your favorite thing about the side? Give me a good visualization of your favorite barbecue side.
Well, I mean, cornbread goes with barbecue. And cornbread goes with pretty much every barbecue side, you know, from coleslaw to potato salad. And then you can advance to green beans with potatoes and ham hock in it. You know, like the different styles of beans. There are people that do black beans. There's people that do pinto beans. There's people that do barbecue beans. They want them more on the sweet side. So they're the brown sugar people is what I call them. I grew up in Southeast Texas, so we're Cajun people. So things are more chipotle and spice-based beans, pinto beans, kind of like Mexican charro beans. So, like, I love all sides, but I lean toward the savory. You know, I like the green beans and potatoes together, and I also like the pinto beans and mac and cheese as sides, and they go good with cornbread too. So,
absolutely.
And I mean, collard greens, like you can't go wrong with a good collard green either.
That's exactly what Chef Duffy said.
Body by collard greens.
I think it'll be really interesting to see, because like you said, you're from Texas. Chef Duffy is from Philadelphia, and y'all are both going to be in Columbia, South Carolina, judging international flavors of barbecue. So it's great that you guys have both these separate backgrounds. He's got the culinary arts behind him. You've got the homegrown, grew up making it with your siblings and your family. So I think it's a perfect storm coming to Columbia, South Carolina in mid-June.
Yeah, and real competitive cooks and chefs have to learn regional fare, but you also have to learn kind of the traditional way to prepare stuff.
Absolutely.
So, like, you know, North Carolina and South Carolina and up that direction, when you say barbecue, it's like chopped pork, you know. But so you got to learn regionally what people call things, as well as what they put in them. You know, what the barbecue that you get in Southeast Texas is not the barbecue you get in Central Texas.
Yeah.
And, you know, what you get in Arkansas and Oklahoma and up to Kansas City is completely different than what you get in the south part of Texas and Louisiana. So it's all different. You just got to learn every way to do it and experiment. And that's, you know, that's just what being a good chef is, being versatile.
Absolutely.
Knowing your audience.
Oh, and it's so interesting how different it can be from region to region. I mean, obviously, I think all aspects of culinary arts is like that. But I think barbecue has so much more of that personal flair, which is really special.
Yeah, it's truly an ID for where you are. You can taste somebody's barbecue and almost immediately say, oh, you're from Texas, huh? You know, like you just know the ingredients and the taste and profiles.
Well,
I don't put mustard like on pork, but like a lot of my friends in the Carolinas, Charlotte, he slathers his butts in mustard, and then he puts on his rubs, and you know he used sweet woods like apple, hickory. In Texas, we use pecan. One, because we like the flavor of pecan, but it also burns hot like post oak. So, you know, you get an extra longer burning charcoal, and you don't have to stoke the fires as much. So it's like, it's a lot of things that go into not only the execution of food, but the ingredients. And it is regional, but you have to learn how to do it all to be elite.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you again for joining us on today's episode, of course.
I had a ball.
For anyone who wants to see what you do and keep up with you, where can they find you and your work on social media?
Well, I am at themarkhenry.com as my website, but on social media, The Mark Henry, and on everything. So reach out to me. I try my best to respond. Definitely follow me and like stuff, and I'll do the same.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us on today's episode.
It's been a pleasure.
Don't forget, the Southeastern Barbecue Showdown is happening June 14th and 15th at Segra Park in Columbia, South Carolina. Be sure to purchase your tickets for this sizzling hot event now before they sell out. And keep up with event updates and announcements by following at Southeastern BBQ Showdown on Facebook and Instagram. So that wraps up this episode of Explore Lake Murray Country. Thank you all for listening, and make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss an episode. Keep up with us by following at Lake Murray Country on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, and follow us on X or Twitter at Lake Murray CTRY. And do not forget to visit lakemurraycountry.com to start planning your trip now.
Hey! You make me come alive.
I've never felt so free.
Can't get you off my mind. There's still so much to see.
You bring out the best in me.
Come alive.
There's still so much to see.
You make me come alive.